Erev Tov, Bruchim Abayim, welcome. Great to have everybody to learn together. We're continuing our Limud, Le'ilui Nishmas, Moras Devora Bas, Harav Gershon, Zechona Levracha, Mrs. Nussbaum, Aleha Shalom. And tonight we're going to start a malacha. We're going to give, a cursory summary, a survey of a malacha that the Mishnah Berurah points out in his introduction to Or HaChaim and Siman Shin Yud Tes, is one of the most common areas in the practice of Hilchos Shabbos. This malacha, it's called the malacha of Borer, selecting, is an everyday malacha. It happens all the time in our house, and therefore I thought it would be worthwhile to begin the practical series talking about issues that come up in the malacha of Borer, and it's the seventh in the section here in Rabbi Appel Zichron Levracha's Sefer. It's the seventh of the malachas in the Sidura de Pas here that he calls Selecting HaBorer, and he introduces this malacha in a footnote telling me something that I had no idea, and that is the origins of gefilte fish. Who knew that the origins of gefilte fish were rooted in the malacha of Borer, as we will soon see? We're not going to discuss right now, but you could even think about the malacha of Borer separating the jarred gefilte fish. Maybe there's a taruvus of those, like the cylinder, like football-shaped, mini-football gefilte fish shapes in the jelly. You know what I'm talking about? That's actually not it. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So Rabbi Appel, Zichron Levracha, points out that in the sections that he deals with the malachos here, he first tells you what's the objective. What is the objective of what's called the Av Malacha, the major category of Borer? Well, the major category of Borer, of selecting, means you want to take out the psoles, the item that you do not want. So let's say in Mishkan, if you're baking bread, you want to take the chaff or the husk away from the kernels of wheat. It's all mixed together. First, you stomped on it, so you smashed off the husk off of the kernel, so it's broken off, but now you have a big mixture. You want to take away, you're going to select out, you're going to remove that which is inferior, the impurities, and you're going to be left with a beautiful basket full of wheat kernels that you're going to turn into bread. So the main malacha, which is why the Rishonim discuss if this is even an Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, it's an unusual type of malacha, because the main objective is to remove what you do not want. So that's the main issue. And when you do that, you usually do that by removing A, what you don't want, what he calls the undesirable matter. Number two, they would often use a utensil specifically used for that purpose. And number three, it's what in halacha we like to call borer la'otzer. It's for long-term purpose. So that's the general category of selecting. If you wanted to do the malacha of borer in its original form, you would remove what you did not want, or you would take a specialized piece of equipment, then, or you would do it for long-term purpose. Because let's say you're working in a commercial setting, you worked in a factory where you were preparing tons and tons of grain for separating, you would do a lot in advance. Okay, that's the background for this malacha. So basically, the Rabbi Nochananel, in his commentary, Rabbi Nochananel's the tiny skinny commentary on the sign of the Gemara and Shabbos, says, well, if that's the case, there is a way to do borer, there is a way to select, which is going to be okay on Shabbos. And this is going to be the rule of thumb. This is how we're going to make sure that we always do our borer in the correct manner on Shabbos, either because this is so dissimilar to what they would do in a commercial setting that's permitted, that's one approach in the Rishonim, or because what you're doing is just in the process of eating, right? Everybody would agree, let's grant you this for a second, everybody agrees that if you put a piece of chicken in your mouth and you find the little bone, you could spit the bone out of between your teeth. Everybody would agree with that. And certainly everybody would agree that you could take your fork and pick up a piece of potato in the chalent and put it in your mouth and eat it. Right? Everybody agrees that while you're actually eating, that's not called borer. There's got to be something between while you're eating and in the field. So Rabbi Nochananel says, you look carefully at the Gemara and Shabbos Taf Ayin Dalet, you come up with three rules. And these are the three rules of hand which are articulated all the way through the poskim down to the Sefer. Rabbi Appel points out this is number one, what we call ochel mitoch psoles, what he terms food from waste. You're always taking what you want from what you don't want. This is criterion number one for allowable, permissible borer. Number one, taking what you want from what you don't want. Food from waste. Number two, using your hand. not using a specialized piece of equipment. And number three, la'alter for immediate use. Ochel mitoch psolus and biyad. And then he says la'alter or miyad, which is what some poskim explain. Okay? So this is the way to do borer. Simple. Should we could call it right now, or we should elaborate a little bit on this. Because when we say, let's look at these three criterion, ochel mitoch psolus, taking what we want from what we don't want. So that's going to be, in an obvious case, let's say you have a mixture of things that are delicious, like pears, and then they end up falling into some kind of mud that you drop them on your way into the house, taking them out from outside. So now you have mixture of mud and pears or plums or whatever, something delicious. So obviously the pears are your ochel and the mud is your psolus. But the Gemara talks about shnei mini ochlim, two kinds of things which are ochel. And Tosfos says, you know what that means? That sometimes ochel, what you want, and psolus, what you don't want, what we call waste, is subjective. So the example that Rabbi Appel uses in the chapter is, for example, a difference between fried chicken and roast chicken. Fried chicken and roast chicken. Fried chicken and roast chicken, both delicious. Everybody loves them. You can't go wrong. They're both ochel. They're both ochel. But let's say you don't want roast chicken. You only want fried chicken. So for you, all of a sudden, your mixture becomes fried chicken and roast chicken are two minim. Whichever one you don't want, that's psolus. And whichever one you do want is now ochel. So let's say you're on like a super strict diet and you only want the roast chicken, you're not going to have the fried chicken. So the fried chicken is now your psolus. And if they're all mixed together in a giant pile, so then you would not be allowed to take out the fried chicken and only leave the roast chicken that you want behind. I see there's somebody on this call who's an expert in various forms of fried chicken. I'm not going to call them out by name, but you could tell that when you get into these kind of nitty-gritty questions of what's two different meaning, these are interesting shilas halacha lemaisa, because it starts to come up. The cases here that Rabbi Appel is talking about, fried chicken and roast chicken, what about white meat versus dark meat? Rav Schechter, when we learned this a few years ago, Rav Schechter was not sure about this. Rav Schechter Shlita was not sure if you treat the white meat chicken from the chicken and the dark meat as two minim. But I wonder, that's probably because Rav Schechter is such a tzaddik, he doesn't really pay attention so much. Whatever the Rebbetzin serves, she's happy, he's happy. But I wonder, I don't know, we could take a survey here. I suspect that in different people's houses, some people are very makpid. Like some people only want the white meat chicken and some people only want the dark meat chicken. And if that's the case, if you only want the white meat chicken, then l'chora, for you, the white meat chicken is the ochel, and the dark meat chicken is the psola, so you're going to take what you want, you're going to take the white meat, and you're going to leave what you don't want. Ochel mitoch psolus. That's one example. The other example, and this is where, it also comes up sometimes, is that you have a mixture of, let's say, two different kinds of fruit. You have a fruit cup, and I would use salad, but salad, it's such a disaster today. People, what they put in the salad, you can't fix it. You can't. They put in strawberries and nuts, and it's crunchy, but it gets soggy. You can't deal with the salad. The best thing is eat meat. Don't bother with salad. But if you have to eat salad, it's an interesting shaila, how you're going to pick out. Let's say someone in my house, they put into the salad, in our own Shabbos table, they put in something, it's like a slimy piece of thick chalk. They call it hearts of palm. You ever see such a thing? So you have a problem. The hearts of palm is psolus. It ruins your whole salad. So alpidin, if it was on my plate, so the salad is the ochel. The hearts of palm is a psolus. So I would not be allowed to take out the psolus mitoch ochel. I would not be allowed to take out the hearts of palm. But since there's somebody who sits next to me who actually eats that and likes it, so for that person, it's ochel. So I'm allowed to take out the hearts of palm on my plate and put it on that person who sits next to me who made the salad in the first place. Let's go back to the fruit cup, because it's a little easier. Some of the things are distinct. So you have a fruit cup in front of you. Inside the fruit cup, you have grapes, You have strawberries, you have melon, and it's all mixed together. So here you have a mixture, you have a taruvis. So you're going to take out with your first bite, you're going to take out what you want from what you don't want. Let's say you hate grapes, you absolutely despise grapes, and there's no one at the table who wants them. If somebody else wants them, you could take it, give it to somebody else, it's going to be their ochel. But if nobody else wants it, you leave the grapes in until the end. Ochel mitzoch psolis. That's rule number one. Any questions, comments, or observations? You can unmute. Questions, comments, or observations on ochel mitoch psolis. Great. The second criterion, which he mentions, is the idea of biyad, that you need to use your hand. Now, he points out in a footnote here, in footnote number 3, it's also true that you can use an ordinary utensil. Rav Moshe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, and the Igros Moshe points out that sometimes you can take something out with your hand, but you decide that A, your mother is there, or B, your mother-in-law is there. And so therefore, it's pasnish that you're going to stick your hand into the soup bowl and take it out. You know what I'm saying? You're taking ochel mitoch psolis and you're going to take it for right away. You see that carrot, you're like, oh, that carrot looks delicious. So you see there's other things in the soup, you don't want those things, but you just want that carrot. And the truth is, there in theory, if you were a yeshiva bacher in a dira somewhere, you could take out that carrot, you would be just as happy. Ah, your hands are a little bit dirty, so you wipe them on your pants, you move right on, no problem. But it's not so nice, you know, derech eretz, other people sitting there. So you're not going to take the carrot with your hand. So you take a spoon or a fork and you take it out. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, he says, that's not a specialized piece of equipment. Using a fork or a spoon to get something out of the soup or to pick the fruit out of the fruit cup, that's not a specialized piece of equipment. That's just yada arichta. That's just the extension of your hand so you won't get dirty. So that's what Rabbi Appel puts out in the footnote here. Using an ordinary utensil, such as a knife, spoon, or the fork, is the same as using your hand. That's kind of an extension of your hand. So when we say you can't use a piece of equipment, that means a lot. Many poskim say you shouldn't use a slotted spoon. Well, a slotted spoon has specialized slots to get the if you have like very heimish coleslaw, so it's going to get out like an ocean full of the mayonnaise drip. It's going to come out the bottom of the slotted spoon. So many poskim say that's a specialized piece of equipment. Or you have, of course, if you have a filter, which we'll get back to a little bit later. But then just using a regular spoon to fish out something from the soup, you're taking ochel mitoch psolis, what you want from what you don't. And number two, you're going to use your hand or the extension of your hand so you're not so heimish. That's number two. Number three is it's got to be la'alter. It's got to be for immediate use. It means miyad. Well, what is immediate use? How do you determine what immediate use is? The problem is it's not so clear in the Rishonim. If you look in the Mordechai, it sounds like it's got to be right there. According to the Rabbi Nochananel, it sounds like it's as long as you're in this meal. So the post can use the shear samach, right before you're going to eat. The problem is how long before you're going to eat. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that there's no official shear. There's no official amount of time. And that's exactly what Rabbi Appel writes in the footnotes here. He says, there is no formal time. There is no exact limited amount of time. So he quotes the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, here's one good rule of thumb. It can't be something you're going to do before you leave to shul. You know, in the days, remember when we used to go to shul? When we went to shul, if you were to start doing your bo'er, even if you were doing ochel mitoch psolis, even if you were using your hand, you were separating out in the kitchen, you were making a sushi salad, and you had to separate the guacamole pieces from the French onion pieces, you were separating all the different things. But if it's before you left to shul, it's 3 hours before in the morning. So that's not going to be okay. You have to do it when you come back to shul. But it's not a specific shear. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, and this is what it's put here in the footnote, whatever is normal, whatever is the normal amount that you're going to prepare right before the meal. Now, it doesn't mean you have to prepare in the middle of the meal for the Rabbi Nochananel says, if it's part of this meal. So let's say I get home from shul. I'm not going to say which neighborhood this happens, but there are certain neighborhoods where you get home from shul, it's like 12:30, you get to the house, people are standing around, they're talking, they're making the salad, they sit down for Kiddush at 1:30, 1:45 you wash, 2 o'clock you finally ate something, you scrape the guy who fainted because he was so hungry off the floor, they get to the third course, it's like almost time for Shalosh Shudas. There are certain communities where this happens, you know, meals that go like 17 hours long, especially on a long Shabbos. So Rabbi Nochananel says, that's okay. It's okay. You want to start preparing for dessert at 12 o'clock when you're about to sit down for the meal. It's for the same meal, but it's right before the meal. So that means if I'm going to wash at 12 o'clock, if it takes an hour to prepare for the meal, I could start an hour before. If it takes an hour and a half, it takes an hour and a half. But let's say you're somebody who's super efficient. I don't want to single out names, but I know some of the people in this call, some of the men, some of the women are very capable in the kitchen. It doesn't take you 2.5 hours to get the whole thing. You know, there are some people, it takes them an hour to cut a cucumber. They have two left hands and they don't know which side of the cucumber is this side. But some people, they go really quick. So for them, the amount of time they would take to prepare, it's whatever is normal for you at a regular pace. He points out also in the footnote, which appears in the Tshuvas of the Rav Pa'olim, that let's say you have company at your meal and you have 45 people coming. So that's going to take you 2 hours. That's called samach. Not 2 hours at 6 a.m. before you go to shul. When you're going to start preparing right before that meal, if you expect people are going to come at 12 o'clock and it's going to take you 2 hours, you could start doing your boer at 10 o'clock when you start doing all your preparation from your meal. And the same thing, if you're going to have 10 courses in your meal, and the same thing is if you're going to have a lot of company. So I know in our house, Nechama is always very makbid. If you have company, you don't measure, well, I think he's on a diet, so he's probably only going to have a half a piece of chicken. So let's make a half for him, and then maybe a half for somebody else because they could use on a diet. Maybe we should only give them a half piece. Like, you don't make cheshbonus like that in this house. You put out ba'ayin yafeh for all your company. So the Ben Ishchayim, the Rav Pa'olim says, however much you normally serve to be mechabed your orchim, to be mechabed your guests, that's how much borer you're allowed to do. You don't say, oh, I'm only allowed to do borer for the 6.5 servings because I have 6 people. If you serve for 6 people, you put out 2 pounds. So you put out 2 pounds, you do bore on the 2 pounds, even though you know it's very possible you're going to have leftovers. What's not appropriate, the Mishnah Berurah points out, is to do a shtick and say, you know what, I'm going to do bore now at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do 10 pounds of bore so I can have it for Shalosh Shuris. So these are the 3 rules of thumb, that it's Ochel Mitoch Psoles, it's Biyad, and it's Miyad, it's La'altar. Any questions, comments, or observations before we get to some practical other permutations? All right, so let's go through a few examples of practical issues that come up. We mentioned at the outset that Rabbi Appel points out in the Sefer that this malacha is the source of gefilte fish. Any guesses? Why do you think it is that the malacha of borer may be responsible for us eating that gefilte fish? And I'm not talking about the hazardous gefilte fish from the jar that maybe some people like, but you know, it's traumatic for others. Why would this malacha of borer have anything to do with eating gefilte fish? Any guesses? Exactly. That's what Rabbi Appel says. I did not know this. The reason why he says that people eat gefilte fish on Shabbos is because if gefilte fish is deboned before Shabbos, so you make it into something that everybody can eat, because the beer, it's exactly it. The Bir Halacha has a very long, complicated cheshbon, how to deal with bones and fish. Because the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, so you remember the Mishnah Berurah is written by the Chavetz Chaim, he died in 1933. So he says, you look around, you see a lot of people, they're taking the bones out of the fish on Shabbos, which is very questionable. Because based on what we said, you got to take Ochel Mitoch Psoles, you can't take the bones out of the fish. So this becomes a very big question. So he says a couple of eitzes, but Rabbi Appel says that's why people serve gefilte fish. And it could be fancy gefilte fish. It could be tricolor gefilte fish. You ever see such things? It could be sweet gefilte fish. It could be, you know, but the bones in the fish. So the best thing is take the fish out of the bones. The problem is sometimes you get, it's so mixed, it's so taruvistic together, it's all mixed together. So how do you deal with that? So one option is put the spoon in your mouth and then you pull the bones right out of your mouth. Mishnah Berurah says that's not a problem. Okay, but sometimes that's hard to do and it gets messy and then people are looking at you and so the Mishnah Berurah does say that he's malamed schus, that people, if right before they take it out on the plate, so he has a limud schus, especially if the bones are royal achila. Some people from a certain generation, they eat the bones from the fish and the chicken. I don't know where that dissipated, but Baruch Hashem, today we can afford to not eat the bones. But Amol, I remember my grandparents, Zichrono Livracha, my grandfather for sure, he ate every bone in that fish. There was nothing left on the plate. The bones, the chicken bones, he also ate like half the bones. So Mishnah Berurah says, maybe if you ate the bone, that would also be okay. Lechatchila, best practice, MP, most preferred, take the fish out of the bone. Make gefilte fish. But if you're stuck, you have bones and they're mixed into your fish, best thing is take it in a spoon in your mouth. Otherwise, if you have to take it out right before you eat it, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bir Halacha that you could take out the bones right before, because that's just about as you're about to eat them. That's number one. Okay, number two, we talked about the fact that we can have different kinds of chicken on a plate. So one of the issues here is that you have to think about what makes something into a mixture in the first place. So let's think back. I see many of our chaverim, many of our yedidim who are on this call are either local, Peterson Park, Lincolnwood, or expats. Shabbos, you know, in a good day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring it back to us very soon. Shabbos and the neighborhood, Kol Shabbaton. Whether it's a lunch at Beis Chaim David, lunch at KJBS, so everybody's busy, they're setting. So you imagine, right, the platters out there. Sometimes, although maybe I'm misremembering, so Judy will have to correct me, but if I'm not mistaken, sometimes we had two kinds of kugel. You have potato kugel on one part of the plate, and then you had maybe a chves like a broccoli kugel. I don't know, Judy's going to have to weigh in if we ever had such. Yes, sometimes potato and broccoli, two options. So is that a taruvus? When we have a tray in the social hall with potato kugel on this side and broccoli kugel on this side, do you have to worry about a mixture? So this is what one of the things that comes up in the Sefer, and the origins of this is in a Truma Sedeshin. Truma Sedeshin, Rabbi Yehuda Isserlin from the early Chachmei Ashkenaz, German Rishonim, he points out, he says, well, you have to be careful, because if you're taking what you don't want, so obviously the potato kugel is what you do want, right? There's no shiloh about that. That's always the ochel. Danny will corroborate this for sure. Always you want the potato kugel. If you're feeling exceptionally healthy and you also want to have broccoli, so it's mutter to also take the broccoli, but avada, you're going to take the potato kugel. The potato kugel is for sure the ochel. You're going to take the potato kugel. That's great. But what about taking off? Let's say you're so upset about the healthy option, you got to take it off the plate. It's terrible. You can't even look at that healthy kugel. So the question is, the Truma Sedeshin says, is that a mixture? I understand if you have a fruit cup, and all the fruit is mixed into the cup, or you have a salad, it's all mixed together. But what if you have pieces of kugel on a plate? So the Truma Sedeshin says, you should be careful. You should be machmir if they're sitting next to each other on the plate. But Rav Avadya Yosef in a Truma, the Abiya Omer points out, he says, yeah, that's only if you have to look and discern. Let's say if you have small pieces. Let's say you have a tray, a candy tray, and it's a long candy tray, and you have, on one side, you have the chocolate with the little cookie bites inside, which mamish everybody loves, and then you have the other side, which is like the chocolate-covered raisins for, God bless the old European Jews. We love them. We give them all the chocolate-covered raisins. That's the biggest hana. Love it. Awesome. So that, you have to really look to make sure that you're not gonna mix that together. So that would be if they're on a plate next to each other. But if you have huge, big pieces of potato kugel next to broccoli kugel, l'chor, that you don't have to worry about. So if the broccoli kugel is offending you because you can't handle it, you can just move it off the plate. Because it's not betaruvus. The nature of it is that it's mixed together. This is not mixed together, right? The whole malacha is when you have things that are mixed. But if you have giant pieces of potato kugel next to giant pieces of broccoli kugel, especially, you know, the caterers, usually they cut it in sizes that are for og melech habashan. You know what I'm talking about? The pieces of kugel, they cut them. They're enormous. They're absolutely enormous. So there are gigantic pieces of potato kugel next to gigantic pieces of broccoli kugel. That's not called a taruvus. You could push the broccoli kugel off the plate. You know, nice thing to do. Don't waste it. Give it to somebody who wants the healthy option. It's gesund. There's nothing wrong with a healthy option. That's number two. Item number three. Long footnote here in the Sefer. Big discussion. Two opinions of the Bir Halacha about peels. Peeling. So in some homes, they use peelers on Shabbos. And this is a minig of some places. And Rabbi Willig Shlita, Rav Mordechai Willig, has a whole shtickle Torah where he explains the basis for why in his house and in many other houses they use peelers on Shabbos. However, I don't want to say the majority, but if you look through the Sfarim, the majority opinion seems to be that peelers should not be used. Now, Rabbi Willig has, you know, Offer anik tachas kapas ragli Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig has a very strong explanation as to why this is true based on a Yerushalmi and a smak, which is not what we're going to discuss tonight. But the reason why those who are machmir about peelers, which is many of us, not to use peelers on Shabbos, is why? Because if you assume that the fruit and the peel is a mixture, it's an unusual mixture, it's mixture from, you know, from birth, so to speak, when the orange was created, it was a mixture. And then when you remove the peel, you are violating the malacha of borer, which is what it sounds like from the Talmud Yerushalmi about removing the peel from, let's say, a piece of garlic. So then you are doing borer. And we said that borer needs to be good from bad. Olch mitoch psoles. It's got to be using your hand. It's got to be for immediate use. Well, if you take off a peel, how can you take off a peel? That's taking bad from good. So the Bir Halacha has two different explanations for this. One is more along the lines of the, of like the fish heter that, well, it's derech achila, it's the way of eating it. But the other way, which is later in Shin Chaf Aleph, he has a great vart. He says, look, I have an orange. It has a peel on top of it. The only way to get to the orange is to take off the peel. It's different than an ordinary mixture where you can take the good from the bad. Here you can't get to it any other way. So therefore, that's not called borer when you're just accessing the food. Oh, accessing the food is one thing. But to use a peeler, many would say that a peeler, that's not an extension of your hand. A peeler is a specialized piece of equipment. Vaharaya, you have righty peelers and lefty peelers. People know this? You can go to Williams-Sonoma, spend $150 and get one of such things. A righty peeler and a lefty peeler. Or you can go to a regular store and spend, you know, less. But there's such things. The peeler has a specific shape of the blade. And that's why many poskim say that you should not use a peeler on Shabbos because it's a problem of that second requirement that it's going to be done beyond that your hand and an ordinary vessel. But a peeler would not qualify as an ordinary vessel. According to Rabbi Willi, you can use a peeler because it's not a problem of borer in the first place. He thinks it's a problem of dash and therefore it's not an issue. Item number three. Any questions, comments, or observations thus far? Question was, the fact that it's a right-handed or left-handed, it's an extension of yad in the sense that it could be an extension of your right hand or your left hand, but the fact that why should it matter that it's right-handed or left-handed, meaning a regular knife. A knife in the drawer, even a steak knife, they don't have right-handed steak knives and left-handed steak knives, right? A knife, even a sharp knife, theoretically you could pull the chicken apart with your hands. But the fact that there's a right, why is it that there's right-handed and left-handed peelers? If I believe, and you, the people on this call who know much better than I do, it's because the way that the blade is shaped and curved and situated is that when you use it with your right hand to pull in this motion, it's more effective at peeling off as opposed to the same way that sometimes if you try the peeler and you pull, it's different than when you push, depending on which direction the blade is facing. So that tells me that, wait a second, that all means that there's a very specific design. There's a design to how the blade is shaped to take off a specific amount of the layer. So that's why many poskim say that is a specialized piece of equipment. It's not so much the righty or the lefty. It's the fact that it's righty or lefty means, wait a second, there is something particular about the design in that makes it more effective. If you give a righty a lefty peeler, it's not as effective to get the top off. If you take a knife, it's not going to be as effective. Now, some say one eitzah in dealing with borer. Let's say you have a mixture and it's difficult to get ochel mitoch psoles and nobody's around. The best thing to do is, you know, if you want to get rid of it, Moshe writes in the tshuva, take the whole mixture, dump it upside down. No problem. Just dump the whole thing upside down. And then it's going to scatter. And then you don't have a mixture. It's like the big pieces of kugel. They're not mixed in together with each other. But when you have a peel, that is, according to the Mogen Avraham, mixed together with each other. Any other? Yeah. Oh. Awesome. So, but when it comes to an apple, there's a lot more to be lenient. That's why actually in the footnote, Rabbi Appel distinguishes between, if you look, this is in peeling. It's in footnote 11. He actually distinguishes between, according to many poskim, between apples which have an edible peel versus ones which don't. So some poskim would say, yeah, if you're taking the peel, which you could eat. So for example, you have Persian cucumbers. A lot of people eat Persian cucumbers without peeling them. So that would be a sad lahakel to say you could peel the Persian cucumber because you would eat the outside anyway. So it's ochel mitoch ochel. Exactly. Another heter that some give is, am I frozen? Oh, no. Okay. Another heter that some give is that one thing we kept talking about is ochel mitoch psolis, the good and the bad, the edible and the inedible, what you want from what you don't want. Well, what if you take the whole taruvas together? Meaning, two ways of thinking about this. One is you take the bad and you take a little bit of good with it. So that's one heter that Achronim talk about. The other heter Achronim talk about is taking off the whole taruvas. So one way to think about peeling for some poskim or mekel about peelers is you take not just that peel, a little sliver, but if you turn the angle of the knife a little deeper, so you get some of the flesh of the fruit or the cucumber with it, so you take the whole thing. The Taz has a big tumult about, you know, the old joke about the fly in the soup. That fly in the soup waiter joke comes from a Taz, because the Taz starts off a huge tumult about what happens if you have a fly in the soup. Now you have a taruvis, a fly in soup. So poskim discuss, well, is that really a taruvis? The Chazon Ish says, well, you know where the taruvis is? Between the little fisalach of the fly. Now we're getting really gross. Between the fisalach of the fly and the soup, there's a little taruvis there. So there's a big discussion. Can you take the fly out of the soup? The best thing is, you know what you do? You take a ladle and you take out the fly with the soup, the whole mixture that's around the fly. So you took out the whole taruvis. Then you don't have to worry about it. And then the rest of the soup you have to deal with, you know, whatever. You know, if you lived in the 17th century with the Taz, you definitely ate that soup. Today, living in Lincolnwood, I don't know if you're eating that soup. That's a different shaila. It's a Baltashka's question. But the point of it is that you're going back to that same issue. Is that called a taruvis? So on that point, just thinking about soups, by the way, the Orach HaShabbos, which is a fabulous sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, points out that when you have big things in water, that's not called a mixture. Let's say you have, sometimes people make chicken soup with just broth and matzo balls. And let's say you don't want the matzo balls. So if you're taking what you want from what you don't, you take the broth and you leave the matzo balls behind. But let's say you decide you want to take the matzo balls out of the soup, you don't like them in the soup. And nobody else wants the matzo balls. If somebody else wants it, you give it to them. So the Orach HaShabbos says that's not called a mixture. Broth and matzo balls, that's not a mixture. They're not mixed together at all. Gigantic matzo balls, the size of a softball, and pure clear water, that's not a taruvis. What is a mixture? Cholent. Good old-fashioned cholent is a total taruvis. You have pieces of potatoes in there, you have pieces of meat, they're all mixed together. So if you're going to take the cholent on your plate, you take what you want, and let's say you have a mixture on the plate, and you're very makbid right now, you don't want the potatoes, you're going carb-free, so you're only going to have the meat, so you take out the meat. Or you could take out the potatoes with a little bit of something else. So you're taking out the good with the bad. But you're not taking out just what you don't want from what you do want. Okay. On to the next topic. Silverware. Long footnote in the sefer here about silverware. Because this is a big issue. The origin of this discussion about silverware is in a Taz. The Taz, we mentioned him before, he lived in the 17th century, Reb David Halevi. He lives in Poland, and he says, wait a second, you should know, when we talked all this time about ochel and psolis and mixtures and borer, it's not just true for food. And he brings a raya from Rashi in the Gemara in Daf Ayin Dalet, where Rashi seems to talk about borer in dirt and pebbles. So this starts off a whole discussion in the Achronim about borer on non-food items. So let's say you have svarim. One of the nice things about being able to control this video is that nobody can see the piles of svarim that are around me with the piles of papers, because all you see is my head and the svarim that are around me that are arranged neatly. Next to me, I have piles of svarim all over the place because Baruch Hashem, the Chama doesn't come down here regularly, so I'm safe to keep it exactly in the proper tzura that it needs to be for this mode of operating. But if you saw this, you would say, wow, this giant piles of svarim, is there a problem of borer from svarim? What about clothes? Some people have It's not a specialized piece of equipment for boatwear. It's a specialized piece of equipment for holding, let's say, shirts, pants, sometimes even socks. Some people have in their bedroom, they have exercise equipment. So kayadua, the main function of exercise equipment in the bedroom is for holding clothing. So what happens if by the end, Friday night, you come to the exercise equipment and you see there's so many clothes, you can't figure out which sweater I'm going to wear, and it's sitting there from last Shabbos underneath the pants from Tuesday. So there's a big taruvus. Is that called a taruvus? Do you have to worry about boer? So Rav Avadia has enormous long tshuva about this, because not so simple. Would you say that that's a taruvus? Is that a mixture? So the Or Sameach, the Halakha Or Sameach, Rameir Simcha of Dvinsk, at the turn of the 20th century, he says, I don't think that's called a taruvus at all. And you should know Rav Schechter, years ago when he gave us a Shir Nilchas Borer, he thought that this Or Sameach was the din. He thought that Meikar Adin, Or Sameach says, anything that you don't use as a mixture, you don't serve, you know, I don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I really could use three shirts today. How many people wear three shirts? You wear one shirt at a time. You wear one shirt, one jacket. You don't wear them in a taruvus. How many svarim? You only use one sefer at a time. You only use a fork at a time. So me'ikar adin, it's very difficult to say that that's called a taruvus. However, especially when they get smaller, like forks and knives in a mixture, so most poskim say we should be careful, and this is what he points out in the footnote. In footnote number 7, he quotes, Rabbi Appel quotes the Taz and all the discussion here in the Achronim, and he points out that there are machmirim and mekilim. Those who are more mekil say, you don't use it as a taruvus, it's not really a mixture. Others say, no, let's say you have by the end of Friday night, the Suda, you put all the dishes in the sink. So you could even distinguish the plates. The big plates, they're stacked one on top of the other. It's a question, is that called a taruvus? But the forks and the knives, they're all jumbled together. So that's very likely a taruvus. So that's why many poskim say that we should be careful Friday night when you wash the dishes, not to, when they're in the mixture, not to take out one fork, wash it, and put it away in the special designated carton. You wash the dishes, you pull them out one at a time to wash them, and then as you dry them one at a time, without designating and specifically choosing one at a time, when you dry, after you washed all the dishes, so you put them down on the table, or you put them down on the counter, and now they're not in a mixture anymore, you could put them away. But many poskim say, this is what is the discussion, many are stringent not to be, to be very careful not to separate out the forks and the spoons and the dishes Friday night when it's in a taruvus, when it's in a mixture. Questions, comments, or observations? Just one more topic before we finish off. All right, two more, because I don't want to miss this one. It's a subtopic. It has two parts. The Gemara in Shabbos in Kuf Lamed Ches discusses a malacha that's very similar to borer called merakeid, which is sifting. And borer, we said, you shouldn't use a specialized piece of equipment, and sifting would use a sieve. That would be a specialized piece of equipment. So what does that mean when we talk about filters or strainers or drain catchers? Is it a problem to have a drain catcher in the bottom of the sink because it's actually sifting out, it's selecting the stuff that's going through into the drain versus the stuff that's staying on the top? What about using one of those Brita filters? What about the filter that's actually in the top of many of our sinks? Is that a problem of filtering? What about coffee filters? These are all actually under the rubric of borer. So let's tackle one side first. The first side is the drain catcher gets back to an important distinction. We talked before about two minim, two different kinds. So you had fried chicken and roast chicken. But Truma Sadesh and the Ramah points out that there's no difference between big and small. If you have a pile of pulkas or let's see, I don't know if he's still on here, our expert on popcorn chicken. So you have big pieces of popcorn chicken and you have small pieces of popcorn chicken. I don't know if there's a caloric difference or how much oil is soaked into the various sizes, but the Ramah points out for the Truma Sadesh, if you only like the tiny pieces of popcorn chicken, that's the same min as the big popcorn chicken, that's not borer. So one thing to think about in the drain catcher is the drain catcher is not really it's not really distinguishing between different minim. It's distinguishing between different sizes, big and small. So therefore, there is no problem to use a drain catcher in your sink on Shabbos. In addition, Shlomo Zalman points out in the footnote of Shmir Shabbos that the whole thing is going into the drain, it's going into the garbage anyway. So you don't have to worry about the drain in the bottom. But what about in the top of the faucet? I don't know if our faucet here has that, but when we lived in New York, they all had those little, in the apartments, they all had the little screw top faucets with the metal, like a netting, wick, like a wicker type of thing in there. Rosie, you know what I'm talking about? In the top of the, you know what I'm talking about. So what's the story with that? What about the Brita filter? So the rule of thumb in the Shulchan Aruch goes as follows. There is a Rambam who says you can never use any kind of actual filter. And Mishnah Berurah says we don't paskim ikaretin like that, but you'll find some people who are machmer like that. So you will find people who are machmer, make sure if anything that resembles a filter is no good. But the general rule of thumb is that if it's something that you would drink without the filtration, you don't care. You would drink it. If you didn't have the filter, you would drink it. And even if, a lot of people would also drink it without that filtration. It's not a big deal. You're not an unusual person. A lot of people drink it without that. It's not going to be a problem. So let's say if you didn't have that little thing on the bottom of the faucet, would you drink the water anyway? You drink the water anyway. So then it won't be a problem. The same thing if you have the Brita. Some people, they like the Brita water better than the regular water. But would you drink the water without it? Yeah, you would drink the water without it. So that's not going to be a problem. Where it does become an issue now, as you'll understand, is that there are certain places where they actually are very makpid not to drink the water without filtering it. And in such a place, you would be responsible to filter the water before Shabbos. Because then you're actually makpid that you are filtering out the water. Now, the Trumas Hadeshen has an interesting shaila. He says, what if you had a bottle of water that was filled with worms, but you wanted to drink it, so you put the filter, a piece of cloth on your mouth, and you drank it like this. So he says, that's okay. I don't know how many people are doing that, Bizman Hazeh, but this idea of using a filter is going to be complicated. Now, there's one interesting knach which comes up. Some people drink coffee, and they drink coffee on Shabbos, where they use I don't know the name of it because I don't drink coffee, but they use something that's not instant coffee. It's regular coffee, but you don't have, let's assume there's no Bishul problem on this coffee. So they want to use the regular coffee. So they do a very interesting patent. A friend of mine showed me this device. Any of you ever seen this? It looks like a funnel shape, a piece of plastic. You put a filter into it. You put coffee grinds in it and you pour hot water in it. And the hot water goes through into the bottom and then out into your cup. You ever see such a thing? Anybody ever hear of such a thing? You ever see it? It hasn't gotten south of Dempster yet. You know what I'm... Oh, okay. Thank you. So here's an interesting shaila. Is that permitted? So Rabbi Neuberger, I heard that Rav Neuberger in Bergenfield is not a fan of this thing because of the way that the water works. But many poskim say that it's okay. And we're going to end with this. It's an interesting quirk in Ilchus Borer. Wait a second. If I have coffee grounds, what are they called? What's the nusach? Whatever, you could say it either way. You have coffee pisalach in the filter. That filter, that's a specialized piece of equipment for Borer. But here's the thing. This is referred to in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Tur, and in the Gemara, in a different context of sediment for wine. They used to do is, imagine I have a cup of water. I'm going to pour my cup of water through the sediment. It's going to come out the bottom, and it's going to be a grape juice flavor. So what's happening is that this is the fascinating kunz of Borer. Borer we started is when you have a mixture and you're going to take one out of the other. But in this case, what do I have in my hand? What am I holding in my hand, in my right hand? Only water. What do I end up with in my cup at the bottom? Only water. What happens in between? Derech agav. Incidentally, the water goes through the coffee grinds that are in the filter and falls its way out. But I'm actually never holding, I'm never creating a taruvis. Rabbi Neuberger is machmer because he thinks that when you put the water in, that creates the mixture. But other poskim say, no, as long as you're pouring it from just water, as opposed to making a mixture on your own. So this comes up a lot different practical permutations about filtering. But whenever you think about that, you want to think about the malacha of merakin and about the malacha of borer. So to summarize, we talked tonight about the malacha of borer, which is defined by removing, taking out what you don't want from what you do. And therefore, the permitted way to do borer is to take what you want from what you don't, the good from the bad, with your hand for immediate use. And we defined good from bad as being subjective, and it depends on what your preference is at this given time. You're on a diet, you have a particular food allergy, you have just a particular taste that you want. We talked about the fact that using your hand doesn't mean your hand, it just means any extension of your hand, but it can't be a specialized piece of equipment, but it could be a ladle. It just can't be, you know, some specialized piece of equipment. And we talk about miyad, meaning right before, doesn't have to be 10 seconds before, but some posts can say half hour, but any time that you're going to do normally before you start preparing, you're going to take the good from the bad and not what you want. As opposed to, let's say, you know, if you talk about borer in non-food items, which is going to be an issue, let's say you're playing Risk Shabbos afternoon. This could happen. And in the old days, I don't know what my kids have the newer version of Risk, but in the old days, the pieces, you had the little X. In the old days, they were made out of wood. Then they got cheap, they made them out of plastic. The plastic X, the plastic, the V, you know what I'm talking about? And all the pieces, the blue and the gray, all the pieces of Risk are all Bataruvis. Well, if you want to play another game, you can take out the good from the bad. I'm blue, and Michael, you're gray, so you're going to take the gray pieces, I'm going to take the blue pieces, and we're going to split them up. But if you're putting away the Risk game for next Shabbos, so then it's actually a problem, even though they're both ochel, but since you're not using them either one right now, you should leave it till after Shabbos to separate out the mixture of the Risk pieces from each other. Same thing, let's say you're sorting leftovers in the kitchen. So if it's one min, you have a giant pile of string beans, and you want to put in two Ziploc bags. String beans, it's all one min. It's not two different minims. So you can put half the string beans in one bag and half the string beans in the other bag and put them in the fridge or in the freezer. I don't know if string beans freeze, so I apologize if I offended anybody. But what if you have a mixture? You have a mixture of two kinds of chicken. You have drumettes, and then you have wings. So those are two different minim, kayodua, drumettes and wings, right? Rav Shachter was mesupik, but I think we could assume that they're two different minim. And you want to split up the drumettes, this kid likes the drumettes. And the wings, that grandparent likes the wings. And you're going to split them up, and you're going to send them home. This one's going to take this for Tuesday night leftovers, and this one's going to take that for Wednesday night leftovers. That's a problem, because it's not miyad, it's not for immediate use. So you leave the whole thing in the pan, you separate it at Motzei Shabbos, they come back to pick up the leftovers, and everybody's shalom al Yisrael.